Blog Talk Radio.
This is Grover Weaver speaking. We're speaking to you live from the city of Fort Worth, Texas, on this first day of August, one day before the country would go in default. We're talking to you from the city of Fort Worth as we are involved in our 28th day of heat. We're headed toward what it was like in 1980. I have a t-shirt around here somewhere that says, that said I lived through 1980. I pray God that I make it through this one. This heat is hard on our respiratory system. We are on our way this evening. We have an appointment at our clinic to be seen again about our asthma. So we pray that as we venture out into this here 109, we'll be able to be careful and that the Lord will protect and his grace will prevail. We look at today's events that have taken place in Washington in the last 24 hours, and we are awaiting the votes to be taken in the House and the Senate on whether this country will go into default for the first time in its history. The leaders have announced, President Obama, Harry Reid, and John Boehner, along with Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, that it is a deal that they have put together an agreement on, and they are recommending it to our respective houses, to their respective houses. But they're left with pushback on the right as well as on the left. The most interesting comment I heard on the left was the representative that's out of Missouri, who is the chairman of the Black Caucus, and I can't right now recall his name, even though I get feeds from him on my Facebook page. But he called it a Satan sandwich. Now, I've heard a lot of sandwiches and certainly have eaten many, but I've never heard of a Satan sandwich. He is displeased with it. Representative Connie Mack, and I remember him because being an old school baseball player, I recognize that name. That's a legendary name, and I think he is family. He is against it, as well as there'll be many more. I think the hope is that Nancy Pelosi, the person in the House on the Democratic side who is responsible for rounding up, head counting the vote, she will have at least 100 to 120 or less. And that Kevin McCarthy, the man in the House on the Republican Party, as Boehner, as well as Eric Cantor, all of them will be trying to round up and bring at least 150 somewhere into that. But neither one will be able to produce the number that they would need to get to the 215 votes that they need to pass. hopefully there will be over 60, a minimum of 60, up to 80 votes in the chamber, in the Senate chamber, and that will be a push for the Republicans over there to in the House to support it. But it looked by and large that it will. It's a done deal. I've been talking to my sister. Did you know I got a twin? Yeah, we're kicking it. She's kind of wanted to know what you think. How's it going? I'm listening at this. What does that mean? And you know, we just stuck our chest out and gave her some ABCs of how this thing is going. And we was hoping, quite frankly, that the president would exercise the 14th Amendment remedy. He would have taken that position. But I understand how important it was, and you could not do the 14th. And the 14th really, quite frankly, isn't off of the table because for some reason, if the a vote does not get through in the House, and it cannot be adjusted in a way that it would give it a passage, then the option certainly would have to be the president could issue an executive order with a one-page clearance that's saying that we're going to raise the debt ceiling to 2.4, and we're going to extend it to March of 2013, which is what this here deal has. Only thing it is, you just don't have the input from the houses, from the chambers. But you cannot, and I think the president is within standing, within his right to do so as chief executor, and one who is sworn constitutionally to be there to bail this country out in a case of an emergency. But the biggest question I think that would have brought on that, if he would do such a thing, is then that debt would be tainted, and how would the financial markets respond to the idea or the thought that the president was not authorized to make the contractual arrangement and agreement that he was making, even though he was making it in an emergency. So it probably would have been fast-tracked or would be fast-tracked to the Supreme Court and get a ruling on it real fast. And, but what it, the hurt and harm that all of this is going to bring, it is still rumored that one of the rating agencies, be it Moody or S&P, and I think there's another one, is going to downgrade, or one of them is going to downgrade the United States anyway, because for playing that close to the edge. I mean, only a fool would have done that. And we know, quite frankly, who was guilty of that, and it's going to be hard for them to deny that they wasn't doing that, because as we have said, and that it had become said by others, this it was a manufactured crisis. It was not it. Remember, the thing that is crisis, we're in crisis mode for, or should be, is jobs. We need jobs and growth. And if you can get jobs, you're going to have growth, and that's going to contribute revenue to the treasury, and that's going to lift up revenue in proportion to what the percentage is of the GNP. So it's not as it is down here now where it's 15%, but if you had jobs, you'd raise it up. Yes, the debt is like 24, 25% of GNP, and that's far too high because when you get that kind of out of balance kind of thing, you need that. So you want to push it down, but not nowhere to the levels that the Tea Party want to do it. Tea Party want to push it down to 1966, 67, which was 1 year after we had Medicare. And with the seniors, with the baby boomers of 75 million and 10,000 a month is coming on board to this here health care cost, then you are not going to be able to operate with that kind of numbers. So the fact it got to be is that you got to hold down the cost of health care, find a way to hold that down, and in this here debt ceiling bill that have been approved by the leadership, it's going to, when it get to that second stage, or some say third stage, when that super committee look at it and cut, they're not going to cut benefits. They're going to cut the providers, the producers, the pill sellers, the device makers that sell to Medicare as a way of holding down the cost. Now, that's what is the question this morning that we have based our conversation upon, is did the president surrender? And the question is, did he? And some, as myself included, kind of think that, well, this debate was going on Friday night and Saturday morning all through and that, and I'm hearing drips of little drips and dabbles of information coming out of the Washington gathering places from the politicians and reporters who are covering it. I am just ants in my pants, and I am just really turned off and thinking that the president have put it in, have got out negotiated, and he has put Social Security on the table along with Medicare and Medicaid. And where we are at this point coming into this debate, with after the Republican put the Ryan budget on the table, and I say we, the Democrats were successfully able to demagogue it and cause the 26th congressional district in California to go in a big way Democrat, and a district in California to go Democratic. Then you don't give this here up. You don't give this here up. And that's when that was during that time when I acknowledged that Nancy Pelosi, Miss Pelosi, was my girl. Let me say my lady, because it certainly didn't mean no disrespect. As bad as I want to keep my Social Security check with a COLA increase, inflationary when inflation impacts the buying and of goods and services in this country, then Social Security is tied into that and it goes up. So I'm looking for it to go up, as well as Ms. Pelosi is looking to come back. She is minority, but she wanted to be Speaker again, and I'm all for that. So she is totally was against anything having to do with cutting Medicare to placate the Republican. Now, all of this here big moderation was made because the Democrat was trying to find cover for what they did. Now, we talk about Obama was weak, and I've said it too, but the Democrats and Obama outplayed them. Because and the outplaying is in this here, you hear where it, they ask, where is his plan? What does he propose to do? I got mine here. His is not written down. Let him show us what he's doing. If they could have got it put on paper, and then they would have went off talking about what we were going to do with Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. But when he said to them, nothing is agreed until everything is agreed, and say to them in these here meetings behind closed doors, I'll cut Medicare if you will give up some of these here loopholes and let me close them for revenue that we can apply to the deficit. and they wouldn't do it, and because they wouldn't do it, so since you wouldn't do that, there ain't no need of me writing nothing down. But I'm not certainly not going to write nothing down so you can have something to talk about, so that you can have talking points outside of this room, because, you know, in negotiation, it's standard, it's protocol. We don't talk about what's happening in this room, happening in this room, and we certainly are not going to go out in a detailed sort of way and make this known what we are proposing. Because if we go in there and talk about what we're proposing outside of this room, then that's going to kill the whole thing. Because everybody now going to be demagoguing, so that can't happen. And so he had them right by the balls, and that really confused them. And when they found out that as the clock was moving towards the finish, and that's what, nothing in this country happened until we get to the final, to the end. Until we get to where the clock is finna run out, then we do things, and that made it possible then to them to get to come to the table and get real serious. And they could not outplay or state a credible case that the president was not negotiating in good faith, because he was. But they never thought that he would come in and present his position in the manner that he did. And that's what caused the Republicans to run out the room each time. And we made mention of him getting out the room, going out the room. But that was a good technique, that technique that he tried, that he would push them on, and I need to have this here. I need to have some revenue, or can you give me a little bit more revenue? Because you're asking for this, you're asking to balance the budget on the back of the poor, the working class, and the people who are disabled. So if you're asking that and you want to maintain your help that you're giving to the big oil, or the people that got these here planes and quarter horses, race horses, then certainly you got to give me this. But when he really got serious with the bullet pulpit, and that was my issue too, he didn't use that. But when he started using that bullet pulpit to hit them over the head with their intransigent ways, then things start happening. Because when the president say tweet, Facebook, call, do whatever you can to get in contact with these people and tell them to compromise and not balance it on the back of the poor, then and they sites and office closed down, they couldn't do work. Then they saw the mighty, the hand of the president, and then with him taking the issue up and taking it to the streets like he said he would do, then they saw themselves losing, and they all had to get together and come out winning, to be a winner. So we don't really know how it's going to come out. They're going to be voting today to determine that. So I am at the point. Got a little misgivings. Do feel good about the president. Social Security is not going to be touched. And we didn't get revenue. But, hey, this is what a lot of people don't realize. There will be revenue. The Bush tax cuts will expire at the end of 2012. And that's the best kind of thing. You ain't got to get into a big squabble about it. All you got to do is do nothing. It automatically expires. And we're talking about almost $1 trillion worth of revenue there that's going to come off into that. And when these here things take place, it's going to allow a big cut, a $900 billion cut in military spending. You know, and we need to do that. These wars need to be winding down. We need to bring that money home and start educating, build up our educational infrastructure again, and doing research and development and looking for ways to cure cancer and other disease that's going to be hitting the baby boomers in a hard sort of way. So we need to make sure that Afghanistan and Iraq, we get them people out of there, save some, and take that money and invest it in ourselves. That's what we need to invest it in ourselves. And we are not going to have to be and be on the bomb to get the Republican to give some revenue to pay that. And they can't do nothing to stop that other than going out there and try to do an administration change. And that's why McConnell really said at the Heritage meeting that he had in November of last year, their goal is to one-term Obama. If they can one-term Obama, then they can save the tax cut. But I'm telling you this here, if they one-term Obama, then Social Security will not be as you know it to be. And you know, this is the thing that I found out in this here debate. Social Security, 30% of the national debt, 30% of that deficit we were talking about, of that $14.3 trillion, is your money that you have been paying into the Social Security fund, and they took that money out of that fund to go over there and give the wealthiest American tax cuts and fund the war and all that. So you hold an IOU from the Treasury Department for that. So as we reduce this here debt, that's going to be a way of storing up Social Security. It's already stored up in the sense that it is, but they was saying that there are. There's 75 million old folks that's going to be coming due on and need and want that, what they have paid into the system. And that is the biggest workforce that we've ever had in history. And the one that coming up behind them aren't quite that big. So it is only fitting and proper that some adjustment and tweaks be made, but not to the extent that we continue to give this, our treasury, away to the fattest cats and the most greediest people in this country. Now, when they get serious and say and recognize that this country is for us all, then yes, everybody want to do a little something. But until you want to protect your people, then it's only right for me to protect mine. And I'm proud this here morning to be a progressive, and I'm out there on the line with Pitts, Fox, and whatever it needs to take so that the seniors and the poor and the disabled can continue to have a measure of dignity in this here country, and that the full faith that the government have bestowed upon on us when they were taking our money and stuff, that they will honor that. I'm looking for the full faith in government to pay and stand by all the money that they have taken from the seniors and the poor people in this here country, saying that by paying into the Medicare fund, you're going to have health care when you get out there. By paying into the Social Security accounts, in your Social Security account, you're going to have a little something when you get out there. That, we got the word of the government. And I'm not willing to see the word broken so that we can continue to do good and do right by the fat cats. Well, that's pretty much all we can say about this here, or desire to say at this here point. We know we can say more, but the president did not surrender. He just has his own methodology, and we just kind of need to get used to it. And I want to support him, and I want to be enthusiastic about the vote that I take, and want to be enthusiastic about as I lift him up and present him to my circle of friends and encourage them to vote and encourage them to present him to their circle of friends and get them to vote. And if we do that so on and so on, then we can give him a two-turn, and that will secure us and get us through some stuff. And hopefully, in the second term, he will get an opportunity to make some correction in the Supreme Court, and that will do right by the progressives in this here country. So we're thankful that you have listened to us, and we ask you to follow us and be a part of what we are saying and doing. If you follow us as we follow what's going on in Washington, we'll share it with you, so help us God. And we will talk to you again. And where's Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney haven't said a word. He already very far extended in his Rose Garden campaigning, but he ain't elected yet, and hopefully somebody catch up with him and get his opinions on these same things, because it's just not good enough to say I support cap balance, cut cap and balance, and I'm for what they are doing, because he don't want and he think he can run the clock out. Well, he's not going to be president, and if he is the nominee, we look forward to him. We'll talk to you later Wednesday at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. Until then, have a good day.